Let's turn in our Bibles to a book that we don't go to very often. It's the book of 2 John. You might say, where is 2 John? It's in the New Testament. It's almost at the very end of your Bible. If you get to Revelation, go a little bit to the left, and you'll see 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and we're going to go to the middle one, 2 John. It's only one small little chapter. And that's where we're going to start our message here this morning. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 1 and read the first 3 verses. And God's Word says this, 2 John chapter 1. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Good, good, good. I'd like to hear that. That was quick, Phil. You just sat down there and you had your place just like that. Oh, you did? Okay. God's Word says this, the elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we have read just a small portion of your word here this morning, but Father, we need a dose of your Holy Spirit to let us know what you want us to learn from the message and from your scriptures here today. So Father, open each and every one of our minds, our hearts, our ears to be receptive to whatever it is that you want us to know about you here this morning. Father, may I decrease and may you increase, Lord. And once again, may I hide behind your cross, that what I say here this morning, Father, be not of Mike, but be of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we give this all over to you, and we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to move up just a little bit so I can still see here and still see there. You know, I always wondered, back since 1995. In 1995, I preached my first sermon at a place called Keezeltown United Methodist Church. I don't know how many of you know where Keezeltown is. It's a little bit north of Harrisonburg. I was invited there to speak. And from that day on, I always knew that that God had a hold of me and that somewhere along the line that I would be doing more of this. And people ask me, was I nervous my first day? And no, I wasn't. But I'll tell you one thing that I learned that first day. I often wondered if a church would ever invite me to be their pastor, what would be my first sermon? Now, I can't honestly say, even though I've been here since last October, October the 21st, I really consider today as my first sermon officially as the pastor of Beech Grove Christian Church. And I often wondered, where would I start? Where would I start? What would be my first sermon, the first lesson that I would preach? Well, if you're building a house, where do you start? At the bottom, with the foundation. So today, folks, it's just like building a house. We're going to start with a firm foundation, and we're going to work our way up. Now, I don't know where each and every one of you stand spiritually. Maybe every last one of you in here is saved, and we're all going to be reunited in heaven. But I'm not going to take that chance. And I say this in jest. I'm going to pretend like we're all pagans, okay? And that I have no idea where you stand. And I'm not going to assume anything. And let's take it from the bottom, and we'll work our way up. And I'm sure week after week, as we start building on the foundation, we will all, including me, learn something more about God's Word. The reading I chose for today, out of 2 John, I chose for one reason. And I'm going to get to that reason here in a second. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, there's a very, very familiar line that we all know and probably know by heart. Jesus says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Very, very familiar scripture to all of us, people who have been going to church for any length of time. But in that scripture, he says this, "I am the way." It's the first thing he says. And I think we all kind of understand what the way is. The way to the Father is going to be through Jesus. And then the third thing he says is, he says, "I am the life." And I think I understand what the life is. And the life is the life that he gives us, the eternal life that he gives us through the Son Jesus. But how much do we focus on the middle word that he says there? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I believe if we're going to build a foundation in ministry here at Beech Grove Christian Church, it's going to be based on truth. It can't be based on anything else. It has to be based on truth. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We are going to talk about truth. Now, I don't know if you noticed or not, and shame on me for not bringing, I have a place in the bulletin for sermon notes. Sermon notes on the inside. What does that mean? That means that I'm going to preach and I'm going to let you fill in the blanks. But Mike, I didn't bring my pen today. I should have brought pens along, shouldn't I? Or pencils or something. Well, that's a great idea, Mike, but what am I going to write with? Gail, do you have any pens with you? She has one. Going once, going twice. Who wants this pen? Who wants to write sermon notes in her bulletin today? Come on, folks. Everyone? Would you? I feel like I should have, if I was prepared enough to do this, I should have been prepared enough to do this. Shame on me. So, I will just wait just a minute or two till they come back. But I'm never at a loss for words. Remember the television show To Tell the Truth? Do you remember when that was on? And I forget the guy's name that was on. I don't know if it was Gary Moore or one of those guys, Bill Cullen or whoever. But the way the show went was there was three people there that one of them was really the person of that occupation. And the other two were not. And it was up to them to fool the panel, who usually consisted of, I don't know, Henry Morgan and the rest of those people. You have a few extra pens there? Gail has a few, of course. In a lady's purse, there's always a few extra writing utensils. Oh, write a bulletins? And my next question, who got the upside-down bulletin? Somebody got the upside-down bulletin, where the outside and the inside is upside down. That's my fault. Somebody got the upside-down bulletin, if all the bulletins are gone. Is yours upside down? Okay, well, you win the prize. But I have no idea what that is. And the thing about the TV show To Tell the Truth was this. The people who lied about their position, their job, the better liars they were, the more the contestant would win, right? Well, unfortunately, in today's church, I feel like that there's just too many people who are not telling the truth. But that's what we're going to do here, folks. We're going to look into this book, God's Word, and find out what the truth is. Now, we have a few fill-in-the-blanks there in the sermon notes, and the question that is going to be asked here this morning is this. What is truth? And the first fill in the blank is going to be this. Just because we read something does not make it the truth. Now, you probably know where I'm going with this. There's all kinds of material out there for us to read, isn't there? There's magazines, there's literature, there's internet, there's you name it, there's books. And remember, just because that it's out there in written form does not make what that reading material says the truth. It could be, it could not be. Let me just say this. If you're going to read anything and expect it to be a truth, this is as far as you need to go. Right here with this book right here. The truth. There's all kinds of places where we can find the truth, but just because you read it does not mean that it's going to be the truth. Remember, the internet is full of whatever people want to say. Books are full of whatever people want to say, and I must say this. You can go to a bookstore and find a Bible that will not be a truthful Bible. I can tell you one right off the top. The New World Translation. You could probably go to some bookstore and find a New World Translation Bible. Well, let me tell you, folks, that's the Bible of the Jehovah Witness. And they have changed things in that book to make it say what they want it to say. So don't believe everything that you read. What type of Bible should I get? King James, an NIV, an NASB. There's a lot of good different translation Bibles out there. But let me warn you, there are some that are not. So, first fill in the blank. Just because we read something does not make it true. Point number two, just because we hear something does not make it true. You talk with family, you talk with friends, you hear people on the television, you hear people on the radio, and people are always going to be saying something. Just because you hear something does not make it true. Now, I know I've challenged you once before, and I've challenged you actually several times. What do you believe about what I say? I challenge you, if you don't believe or if you have questions about what I say, go to this book and try to say, Mike, this is what you said, but this is what the Word says, and I have to disagree with you. But I think that I can stand up here and pretty much back everything up that I'm about to say with what God's Word says. But not everything that you hear is going to be true. And that includes from pastors. That includes some of these TV evangelists too, folks. Okay? There are those men and women out there who are preaching this stuff about this prosperity gospel. I know I've preached on that before. That you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. And God's Word says just the opposite. He says, give everything up, sell everything, deny yourself, and come follow me. There's no room in God's church for a prosperity gospel. So just because we hear something does not make it the truth. Okay? The next point. An opinion is not the truth. An opinion is not the truth. There is a difference between an opinion and the truth. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody. We could talk about any subject in the world, and I would guarantee you this, each and every person in here would have an opinion of some sort. But that's all it is. It's just an opinion. An opinion is not the truth. If I would say, who would you say is the best football team or baseball team or basketball team, would have a variety of answers and would all have something to back it up. Say the Redskins or the Steelers or the Dolphins or the Patriots or whoever. But that would be all it would be. It would be just your opinion. Who is the best cook? There could be people in here pointing to, well, she's the best cook, or she's the best cook. Well, I know in my life right now, she's the best cook. And I'm going to say that because I believe she is the best cook. Actually, her mother was the best cook, but her mother passed away, so she has now inherited that spot. What model car should we buy? Well, people are going to say, you know, Toyota, Honda, Chevrolet, Buick, whatever. We all have our opinions. Even we have our own views of people in political office. But folks, the bottom line is this. An opinion is not the truth. Well, if we read something, it's not the truth, and we hear something, it's not the truth, and an opinion is not the truth, well, what is the truth? Well, I have one more note. Just because we believe something does not make it the truth. Now, wait a second here, Mike. You know, I believe in this book right here. Well, so do I. But let me just run a scenario, a story by you. And this is not a story time with with Pastor Mike, because this is not a personal story. This is just a story. And the story goes like this. Does a very important event in human history happened on the morning of April the 15th, 1912? Does anybody know what that might have been? The sinking of the Titanic. Very good. The sinking of the Titanic. The Titanic hit an iceberg late on the night of April 14th, and at 2:20 a.m. on April 15th, 1912, the large, majestic Titanic, the boat that was deemed unsinkable, that God himself could not even sink it, went to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, approximately 2.5 miles down, about 12,000 feet. Out of 2,200 people that were on that boat that night, approximately 700 of them were saved. The other 1,500 perished, most of them in the icy waters of the North Atlantic. Shortly after the Titanic sank, there was a little bit of discrepancy on the sinking itself. Some people said this, and I will use my pen as an example. Some people said this: the bow filled with water, the back end went up, and the whole boat went down as one. Some eyewitnesses said that is what happened. Other eyewitnesses said this: the bow filled with water, the back end went up. The back end was so heavy that it broke. The bow sank and then pulled the stern along with it, and then it sank that way. Well, you have two conflicting reports. Which one is true? One thing you have to remember is there was absolutely no moon out that night. There was no moonlight at all. It's very difficult to see. I'm sure once the lights in the boat went out, it was very difficult to see anything. But what did happen? What did happen? Either the boat sank as one, or it broke. One of them is the truth. They both kind of can't be the truth. It sank as one, or it sank as two pieces. Back in the late 70s or early 80s, there was a movie made called Raise the Titanic. In this fictional story, the Titanic was sinking all majestic there at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. And how did they raise it? They filled it with balloons full of air, and the Titanic rose to the surface, ready to be recommissioned again. Again, a fictional story. However, back in September of 1985, a gentleman by the name of Bob Ballard found the Titanic at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. He found the bow section, approximately two-thirds of the boat, intact at one place, and then about a mile away, he found the stern, proving one thing: the boat broke in half. Now, until that boat was found, it was pretty much a common belief that the boat was sitting there at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, all in one piece. That's what I believed, and probably you believed that too. Most people did not buy into the fact that the boat could have broken in two pieces, God bless you, and sank that way. But that's what I believed. And because I believed that, that made it the truth for me. And for years and years and years, for 73 years, most people, including me and maybe including you, thought the Titanic was in one piece at the bottom of the ocean. But it wasn't. It was in two pieces. So the fact remains, folks, is this: just because we believe something does not make it true. We believe that the Titanic was in one piece. Also, getting back to that boat, it was believed that there was a 300-foot gash on the starboard side that when it ran into the iceberg that caused the boat to sink. They never found a 300-foot gash. They found rivets in certain critical places that exploded and popped, as you probably saw in the movie, if you've seen Jim Cameron's movie back from 1997, The Titanic. And that's what happened. There was not a 300-foot gash down the side. That was scientifically not to happen. So for 73 years, the Titanic was at the bottom of the Atlantic with a 300-foot gash down the starboard side. In 1985, they found there was no gash down the side of it, and it was in two pieces. My belief was shattered. But now I had a new belief and a new truth to hold on to, because it was proved otherwise. Okay, well, a common reaction to this story might be, well, Mike, but that's what I was told. That's what we were told, so that's what I believe. Just because if that's what you were told, does that make it true? Does that make it true? No, it doesn't. Scripturally speaking, where do we go to find the truth? Well, we know where we go. We go to God's Word. But getting back to beliefs, there's a difference between a belief and a truth. And let me tell you this. Let me give you a few examples. Example number one. The belief was this, that terrorists could never cause mass destruction on the soil of the United States of America. That's what the belief was. The truth is, September 11th, 2001. The belief is this, that Elvis is alive. And the belief, and the truth is, he's dead. Because he did it my way. The belief is that human beings evolved from monkeys. The truth is, man is made in the image and likeness of God. And if anyone would like to debate me on that one, I will take you on, okay? There is no such thing as evolution. That's not what the Bible says. The belief is this, you cannot get blood from a turnip. But the truth is this, God can make water come out of a rock. The book of Exodus. The belief is this, being good will get you to heaven. The truth is this, we are saved by grace through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God and not by works, lest no man boast. The belief is this, all paths, come on Mike, all paths lead to God. But the truth is this, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. The belief is this, we need religion. The truth is this, we need a relationship. I spent 40 years of my life being a religious person, but I didn't have a relationship. All world religions will probably tell you, you can get into any world religion you want to, Hindu, Muslim, Islam, you go through them all, and they'll all say that all those paths will lead to the same God. And they don't. That's the truth. Folks, there's a lot of beliefs out there, and we have to be able to discern which ones of those beliefs we are going to buy into as truth. I'm a pretty black and white type of guy. Either I like, in my life, there's kind of like no gray area. And you can ask Gail about that. She's even snickering up here. There's no gray area. Either it's this or it's this. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not, or I don't know if that's the way you are or not. But the thing I like about having the personality that I have is this. Is I know that when I go to this book, that I can get the truth. And there's no gray areas about it. Here it is. It's the truth. It's God's word. It's God inspired. It's God breathed. There's a lot of sense of security for me in knowing that God's word is truth. After all, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, the Gospel of John says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word was Jesus. And this book says that this book is God's Word. This book is all about Jesus. This book is all about the truth. That sits very well with a person like me. What will truth do? And we have that question here in our sermon notes. And we have three fill-in-the-blanks, that three things that truth will do. The first fill-in-the-blank, we're going to put this, and it comes from the Gospel of Luke 12, 49 through 53. The truth will divide. Okay? The truth will divide. Now let's see what Jesus says there in the Gospel of Luke and find out what he's saying and how we can kind of interpret what he's saying there. In Luke chapter 12, verse 49 through 53, here's what Jesus says. Let me get to the right place here. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says this, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Folks, when you buy into the truth, I can guarantee one thing. There will be division in your life with family and with friends. Guaranteed, because that's what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to follow my word, if you're going to believe truth, there will be division. And I guarantee that in your life somewhere, there is a family member, mom, dad, brother, sister, son, daughter, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, or a friend, a co-worker or something, that when you start buying into this, they were no longer buying into you. They had said, "You know what, Mike? We used to be friends, but not no more, because you have become some religious fanatic zealot that's got into this Jesus thing, and I just don't want any parts of you anymore." The truth will do this. The truth will divide. Jesus even says so himself. It divides families. I know that as from a personal experience, and I know I've shared that story with you. That my dad, he's still my dad, and we're still friends, and we still talk, but I guarantee one subject never comes up. We never talk about Jesus anymore, because that is a subject that has divided the two of us. Yet he continues to go to church religiously every Sunday. The second thing that truth will do, the truth will hold people accountable. The truth will hold people accountable. Where can we go for a scripture reference on that? Let's go to where the bulletin says, to John chapter 3, and read verses 19 through 21. And in this whole first part of chapter 3, 1 all the way through 21, this is where Jesus is having his conversation with Nicodemus. And he's trying to get Nicodemus to see things from a spiritual point of view and not so much a worldly or a man point of view. The truth will hold people accountable, starting with verse 19. "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." The truth is not only going to divide, it's going to hold people accountable. And in today's world, guess what? People don't want to be held accountable. They want to be the gods of their own lives. I don't want to adhere to any book, any 2,000-year-old book, and do what this thing says. I want to do it my way. Hey, Elvis did it his way. You saw what happened to him, don't you? I want to do things my way is what the world is saying. It takes a special type of person to submit to the authority of Jesus and to his word. But people don't want to be held accountable. Why? Because they love their sin. And to know that I'm going to change and do what this book says that I need to do means that I can't do those things that I enjoy doing anymore. And I will have to change. I still remember my brother and I, this was in 1997, in May of 97, we had a conversation about this, and he said this, "Mike, I'm just not ready to change just yet." The bad part about that is, what if you don't live another day? And you don't have tomorrow to change? Today needs to be the day of salvation. But here's the thing about the truth, and I've said it several times already. It holds people accountable. And now I have to be accountable for my sin. But here's the thing. If I'm a sinner and I want to remain in sin, I want to remain in darkness because I don't want to expose myself and let everybody know that I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that. I would rather walk in the light and let people know that I've done this and done that and done this and done that and be saved and know that I have eternal life than to remain in the darkness and be able to do whatever I wanted. I don't know about you, but I personally love being held accountable by this book. The last one. What is the next thing that truth will do? The truth will set you free. In the same gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says this, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Did you ever try explaining your relationship with Jesus Christ to somebody? As I was preparing this message, I'm usually good at words, but I'm almost at a loss of words to be able to describe the fact that I'm set free. How do you describe that? How do you describe the freedom that you have in Jesus? How do you describe the joy that you have in Jesus Christ? How do you explain the eternal life that I have through Jesus Christ? You just have to experience it yourself. And then you'll know what I'm talking about. I can stand up here and tell you all day what it's like to go to King's Dominion and ride the rides. But until you ride the rides themselves, you're not going to know how fun they are. Until you commit your life to Jesus Christ, you'll never know what it's going to be like to be set free. Because the truth will set you free. I do know this, and I'll try to explain it the best that I can. If God himself decided to take my life today, for whatever reason, however he wanted to do that, it is well with my soul. I'm okay. Because the truth has set me free. I know where my eternity is. Because it's his promise, and it's his truth. Not mine. I'm just buying into it. I'm just buying into what this book says. The truth will set us free. Somewhere in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, Pontius Pilate is standing right in front of Jesus. And they're carrying on this conversation right before Jesus is going to be sentenced to death. And Pontius Pilate asked Jesus this question: "What is truth?" you imagine looking face to face at Jesus Christ, looking eye to eye in the Savior of the world, at the Creator of the universe, and asking Him, what is truth? He was standing right in front of it. But what did the truth do for Jesus? It got Him crucified. When we go believing the words of this book, a couple things are going to happen. The good news is this: we're going to get set free if you haven't already been. And the bad news is this: you're going to face persecution. There's going to be division. People are going to laugh at you. People are going to challenge you. People are going to want to know why you believe what you believe. And sometimes the only testimony you have is this: I don't know, God changed my life. And that's all, the further I can explain it. And that's okay. If that's as far as you can explain it, that's okay. But to the congregation of Beech Grove Christian Church, I will say this: I know what this book did for me, and I have an absolute passion for preaching and teaching what this book says. And from here on out, as long as I am the pastor here at this church, be it 1 month or 10 years or who knows how long, this book will always, always be the focal point of what we discuss. Because if it's not, then let's bring in the newspaper and talk about current events. Because that's as good as it's going to get. But I can assure you of one thing: as long as you want Mike Owen to remain as your pastor, this book will be opened up. And every week we will have sermon notes. And every week we will be talking about the truth of what this book does. And I promise you this: your life will be transformed. If it hasn't been transformed already, which I hope that it has, it will, because the truth will set you free. Again, if I was going to build a foundation or start a foundation, my ministry here at Christian Church, it has to be based on one word: truth. And truth is found in this book. And that's why I chose the scripture lesson that I did. Three little verses out of 2 John, a little book that probably nobody reads. And in those three verses, the word truth is found four times. Obviously, to John, who wrote that, the word truth must have been very important. Did you know the word truth is found in the New Testament 183 times? And just in the Gospel of John alone, it's found 52 times? Folks, there's got to be something important about truth. And that's what Mike's ministry at Beech Grove is going to be based on: the truth, this truth, and nothing but this truth. And that's the path I'm going. And I hope next week all of you are still here, because that's the road I'm traveling, folks. And that's the road I hope you want to follow, because it's going to be a great journey as we go through this word and learn how truth is going to transform all of our lives. Let's pray.